You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
World put on you, or some book you read put on you, or some friend told you you were, or any of those kinds. You don't worry about that past because it's behind you. Even if it's been a short past, even if you're younger and it isn't but it's filled with stuff. You don't have to stay there in that stuff. You don't have to live in that stuff place and be what all that stuff tries to dictate to you that you are. You're free from that if you have Christ. And then the Christ in you, the new creation that you've become through Christ, brings forth this idea of a new innocence. Marriages can get innocent. Homes and families can get innocent. And if we can catch this and live this life-giving kind of way, I think it will change dramatically, not only how we view others and relate to others, but honestly, how we view ourselves and how we relate to our own self and how we live out our lives together. And so I want to challenge us that we come back to that place of some innocence, all right, that we begin to live out of that. When I was in art school years ago and I was studying to be a graphic designer, we used to have to do road trips. And one of the ones that I loved the most was we went over to this place that grew orchids. And they had like these glass domes. And it looked like some geosphere kind of outer space kind of place that people would live. Because it was just dome after dome after dome. And when you would walk into these different domes, there would be orchids everywhere. I mean, like unbelievable orchids. And some of them, they smelled so amazing. And they were so beautiful. And some were so delicate. And some were big and small. And it was just amazing. You know, and the reason we went in graphic design was to draw the orchids. We had to actually go into the different rooms and choose different varieties and to sketch them in our sketchbooks. And we did this for an entire semester, and so we would be sitting around in there and drawing, and I would find myself not drawing, not doing what I was supposed to do, and I would just be sitting there, and so I would go back after class and sit, because I just love the feel of being in these places. And the reason was, and it dawned on me, I was like, I wonder why I like that. You know, I mean, that's kind of strange, this guy sitting there just like in a bunch of orchids and liking that. I didn't like liking that. You know, and I was like, I don't understand why I like being here. And it dawned on me, I like it in here because it feels like there's life here. These people are growing these orchids and they're creating this environment in these domes, and they're creating the perfect temperature and the right amount of moisture and the right amount of sunlight, everything that's needed to make these orchids to grow at their best and to be the best possible orchids that they could be. They didn't ship them anywhere. They didn't sell them out. They just grew them for people to come and to enjoy, to experience them and to see the varieties and the colors and the fragrances and all of that. It was just an atmosphere of growth. It was an atmosphere of life. And I wonder how many times we come into the church and we feel as though it's an atmosphere that's been created so that there is life and that we can grow. That we have the ability to relate to one another and to enjoy one another. And we feel like that as we do that, we are growing. That we are becoming what God wanted us to be. And we're becoming the purpose that God has set before us. How many times do we live our day by default? We don't really think about what we're doing or who we are or what we're all about. I mean, granted, everybody needs a day to veg out, you know, once in a while. I mean, life gets intense and there's things going on and we're all stressed out. And you know, it's like, okay, today's my health day, or today's my mental day, or today's my veggie day, or whatever, you know. And you kill a day. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about waking up in the morning and not having a sense of direction, not having a sense of purpose, not really feeling like I understand who I am and what God has called me to do. And so by default, that day just goes by. It just happens, and it just sort of like randomly unfolds, and I'm buffeted by whatever the day brings. And at the end of the day, I can't really say that I've done anything to move me towards my identity in Christ or my relationship with the Lord or my relationship with others or the purpose or the destiny that God has called me to. I haven't done anything with it. I haven't grown. I haven't moved. There's no change in my life. Any of you ever felt like you've lived a portion or a segment of your life that way? I have. I've done that. And at the end of it, felt very empty and very unproductive and unfruitful at that place. And I don't want you and I living that way. I don't want us living the kingdom life that way. I don't want us quoting scriptures like Jesus says, "I have come to give you life and life full." And then we have no life. That's incongruent. There's no testimony to that. There's no power in that. And so I want us to create this environment as we are identifying ourselves and shaping ourselves as a church, that we are beginning to create this environment that I'm not sure exactly what it looks like myself, but I know when I find it. I knew I had found it when I walked in the dome because I experienced it. And even though I may not know how to articulate it fully, and maybe I don't know what it's supposed to look like in here, in this room exactly, or in the relationships of Life Church with all of you, I know it's available to us because Jesus has promised it to us. And so I want us to move in that direction. I want us to begin to take this journey of finding this place that is so deeply entrenched in Jesus, that we are constantly being changed and we're constantly growing into what God has for us. And I believe that's what will make us very life-giving. I believe that's what will make a difference for people as they come in. And so then you're not always feeling like you're just stuck in survival mode. You know, you're not feeling like you're just always trying to make it to the end of the day or get it done by the end of the day. Or maybe you're one of those people who is just always trying to catch up. You know, your life is so behind that you're just always trying to catch up, and you never feel like you're living in the moment, and you're never living fully in Christ, and there's this sense of there's no life in me. All right, I want us to move away from those places and to help each other to do that, okay? So this morning, let me just touch again on this idea of life-giving. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 2, and I want to read 3 verses out of Genesis chapter 2 for you as we kind of begin and bring us kind of back to that platform. Remember that last Sunday we talked about the kingdom being like a mustard seed, and the mustard seed being the smallest of seeds, but yet when it's planted, it grows, and it grows huge, and the birds can perch there and find shade and rest and all of that. That's what the kingdom is like. It's about growing, and it's about caring, and it's about loving and sheltering one another. And we want to be that way. But verse 9 of Genesis 2 says, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden," the Bible says, "there were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now, let's go to verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" And we're using this as kind of a base, kind of a platform to work off of for this idea here of living in a very life-giving kind of way. Because there were these two trees that were set up in the garden. And as we look at these trees, we see that one, it says, is a tree of life. All right, "You eat from this tree, Adam, you live forever. The other is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You eat from this tree, Adam, you will surely die." All right? And so we have this setup, and of course you know the story that Eve was tempted by Satan, and she tempted Adam, and he came to the temptation as well, and they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil because they wanted to be more like God. And so then sin entered, and man fell, and so then the process of redemption began. In one sense, it's a sad story, but it's a very revealing story. But yet, the beauty of the story comes after the fall, and that is in the redemption, and that God loves us so much that He went after Adam, you know, and he's Adam, where are you? And he starts this new kind of relationship with Adam. And God wanted to know why he ate. God wanted to know who talked to him. God asked him questions. But I think the questions were really more for Adam to think through the process of what he had done. But I think all of the time that we read through this whole story, we see the love of God. We see the Father's heart. And that's where I want to take you to. Is I don't want to focus on this thing that, well, Adam messed up and Adam screwed up. And, well, actually it was Eve who screwed up. And so do you think it was really Eve's fault or Adam's fault? Or, you know, was it really an apple, or what kind of fruit was it, and all that kind of stuff? And I don't want you to go back and think about that little book that you looked at when you were a kid and you saw this guy and this gal and they were behind a bush from here down and she had hair, you know, covering up parts of her body, and now all of a sudden they're naked, and they weren't naked, and did they have belly buttons, or did they not, or, you know. That's not our world today, all right? Our world today is a world out there that's caving in on people, and they're hurting, and they're fragmented, and they're messed up, and they can't come into a church that is living in the wrong tree and find life and find hope and find healing and find deliverance. And they can't come into a place that has no spirit. They can't come in a place where it's empty and where it's dead. They've got to find a place for life. That's what people are looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Because here's the problem. Even good people can live dead lives. Even religious people can be dead and not even know it. And so I'm challenging us that we begin to understand that we have got to live in the right tree. And that is in this place of giving life. Not under the law alone. Not living under this place of just law. But living in this place of spirit. Of being filled with the Spirit of God. And that the spirit man or the spirit woman is rising up and becoming everything that they need to be. That we're growing in our spirit-filled life and in our walk with God and our looking and living and being like Jesus. That we're growing in that, and that we're becoming what God intended us to be. We're being shaped and formed in the image of Christ. And so then when people see us, we're dead, yet we're living. But it's not us that's living, it's Christ that is living through us. And so we exemplify Christ because of the life that we're living. And so I want to challenge us that we come back and find some of that innocence that we knew in childhood before everybody told us it was wrong to pull our skirts up over our heads and take our clothes off and run out naked in the front yard. That's what my kids did, all right? But someday everything became wrong. And everything became good and everything became bad. And we begin to learn and we begin to get these formations in our head, and we begin to get these ways of thinking. And even though we came to know Jesus, we were still in the wrong tree. And so we begin to pull out the list, and the list says you can do this. And so we go to Galatians 5, and it says, well, if you're a sinner, this is what you do. And if you are a saved, then the fruit of the Spirit is over here, and this is what you look like. And so we got this list, and we got this list, and we're looking, and then we're looking, and we don't measure up, and we go into these modes of performing and doing other things and trying to make it happen and trying to work so hard to get loved by God, who already loved us and gave his son Jesus and took care of all that on the cross, and the sin issue is already dealt with and done, but we're still trying to get it done because we got these lists that we're living out of in this wrong tree. And then we start not only looking at ourselves, but we start looking at each other, and we start measuring up this person, and they don't measure up to the list. And so now it's good and evil, and we are doing all this judging and criticizing and fault-finding and crazy stuff, and we kill because we're in the wrong tree. And so I'm challenging us that we move back. You can have two women, both of them who will tell you that they love God dearly, and they're standing in front of an abortion clinic. And they're probably dressed almost the same.
They may look a lot alike. They may even hold the same sign. But one woman is there because she understands the tree of life. And she's lived in it and is living out of it. It's living out of her. And so when she looks at that driveway of that clinic, and she sees that young woman or that young couple or that older couple perhaps driving in, her heart is crushed. And she begins to care about that unborn child. But that care moves beyond that unborn child and her own theology and her own personal convictions. And she begins to care about that woman that's carrying that baby. And her heart begins to go out to that unwed mother. But even beyond that, she moves on and she begins to think about that young man that's being held responsible. And she cares about him and she cares about his soul, and she begins to weep and she begins to pray because of the care that is inside of her. But there's another lady standing there who looks so much like her, but she's living in a different tree. And there's no care because the issue is right or wrong. And she's decided that abortion is evil and abortion is bad, and to get an abortion is evil and that's bad. And so those who get abortions are doing bad things. And so it's all an issue of right or wrong, and there's judgment, and there's an inability to really reach deep in and feel with her heart what Jesus feels for that unborn child and that mom and that dad who are messed up and confused and fragmented. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can be so right and still be wrong. And that is not what God wants from us. It's not where God wants us to go. And that's an easy example because it's abortion. But how many times have we done that in the secrecy of our own hearts to the person sitting next to us in the church? Or how many times did we skirt that person when we're supposed to bridge the gap? We're only making it wider in our own heart. Because we've looked and we've evaluated because we're religious. See, if you decide that you want to read 5 chapters of the Bible every day, that's great. If God tells you, hey, I want you reading 5 chapters of the Bible every day, that's great. Do it. And if you do it and you do it well and you learn and you grow out of that, reading 5 chapters of the Bible every day, that's a great thing. But if you jump out of the tree of life and you jump over here in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and you suddenly decide that she's not reading 5 chapters a day, I'm doing really good because I'm reading 5 chapters a day. It's made a difference. It's changed my life. Julia Grins, you should read 5 chapters a day. You should. Doggone it. And then I come back and I say, Julia, how you doing with your chapters? Well, I didn't get to it. There's this girl and I met her and I got to talking to her. And we spent the night talking to each other and I didn't. I was tired, so I didn't read. And then I judge Julia. Based on my 5 chapters a day, I am in the wrong tree because I can't see the value of relationship. Are you following me here in what I'm trying to say to you? I'm trying to help us to lay down the pad. I love a scripture I read yesterday in a wedding in Omaha from Corinthians that said, love never keeps a record. Love never keeps a record. It's like I just sometimes I know that I got this little list in my back pocket. It's like I just keep it there. You know, it's like some of you've got a list and it's as close to you as your cell phone. That's pretty doggone close. Because some of you will leave your house and go to work and go back home to get your cell phone. Because you just can't be without it. And for some of us, that's how we carry the list that we have in our back pocket. We got that little list, and it can come out as quick as a cell phone can. And you know what? It's just like texting somebody a message in their heart. You didn't do it right. Because we're in the wrong tree. I don't want to... Let me take you to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read two verses here. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. We're going to close this up. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, this adoption thing, okay? All right? And by him we cry, meaning by Jesus we cry, Abba, Father. It's a relationship. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. All right? It's a spirit thing. It's all about understanding that you are a spirit man or spirit woman. And that's really who you are. And as you begin to take on that identity and as it begins to shape and fashion you, your thinking, your processing, your relating, your responding, then you begin to live differently. You live out of the Spirit. And it is a Spirit work. To be able to be life-giving is a Spirit work. It's not a flesh work. And in that place, then, we begin to find things about ourselves. And we begin to realize that we are strengthened out of this knowledge of who we are in Christ. And we begin to do what we do based on who we are, not the letter of the law alone. Please understand, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law in the sense that to throw it out. He said, I came to fulfill the law. And I don't know how to explain this very well, because I've always struggled with it. I've always struggled with living in Christ and the freedom that is in Christ. I always go back to the law. It's been my bondage all of my life. I was the kid in grade school that would I just wanted the list. Just tell me what I need to do. I'll do it right. You just show me how I need to perform. I'll do it right. I'll do whatever you tell me to do, because then I'll be okay, because then you'll like me. And when I became a Christian, I started to treat God, the relationship with God, the same way. You just tell me what to do. I'll just do it. Even if it kills me, I'll do it. I'll get it done. That's the way I live. I'm a performer. Just give me the rhythm. Give me the amount of time. Show me what you want. I'm going to do it. I'll dance your dance. I'll jump your jump. I'll turn your cartwheel. Just tell me how high. Tell me how far. Tell me how long. What a horrible way to live. Elusive freedom. And God doesn't want it that way. God, we sang about it this morning. You're free. You are free. It is about your freedom. That's why Jesus died. It is to free you up to live your life in the abundance of Christ. And I want that kind of environment for you and I. I want us living in that place. I want people coming in. Pastor Dave gave me a book, and neither of us are quite sure that we like the whole book, you know, but there's some things that I do like in the book. And this guy talks about the It. That's the name of the book, actually. Is it the It? Same with the It. But the guy's crazy, you know? And he says, you don't really know what the It is until you find it. But when you find it, you know you've got it. And it's true. It's crazy, but it's like, I didn't know what it was, but I went in the dome. And I sat down, and it felt good. It was like, what is it about this place? What is it? I don't know. But then it dawns on me that
There's life here. These plants are growing. Now we get down to the real question. Last Sunday, I left you with, where are you? Here's the real question. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you growing? Do you have life? I mean, can you really, really ask yourself and honestly look at yourself for a little bit? Where are you? What is going on? What? Let me ask you this way. What defines your life? Why do you do what you do? Do you do it because you understand who you are in Christ? Are you living out of Romans 8? Are you stuck back there in the wrong tree? Because there's a place of rest for us, all right? Do you remember a time in your life where you just were really carefree and joyful? Or you just really felt free to love and to care and to feel good and to laugh and to play? If you didn't, I believe that God wants to help you find that place. But if there was a place like that in a time and a season in your life, can you identify some of the things that have robbed you of that place? What are the things in your life that have come in, that have taken that place away? See, I believe that when we are created new in Christ, that we are new. We are a new creature. We are a new creation according to Scripture. And I believe something dramatic happens to us at that point. And it's fun to watch someone who is a new Christian, because they are sometimes a lot like that person who gets up and sings in the children's Christmas program. They have joy, and it's fun, and they're kind of taken with the moment, and they live in it. And I think that it's that newness. It's that moment when sin is lifted, the burden of sin is taken away, the revelation that Jesus came to save. And in that moment, all of that heaviness, all of that darkness gets lifted away for a little bit, and it's like you feel innocent. New and fresh. It's like a new start. And it's wonderful. It's really good. If you haven't had that, you can have it today. It's yours today. Talk to one of us. We'll help you with that. But that's the place that we come back to. But the problem is then that gets robbed. That gets robbed by legalism, and that gets robbed by judgmental places and critical places. And it can happen in family, and it can happen in church, and it can happen with a total stranger. It can happen all over. But if we're living in the right tree, and we're challenging and calling each other to live in the right tree, and we're having a place where we grow and we mature, it's good. It's good because there's life. There's life. Let me read you two verses, and then we're going to wrap this up. I'm reading from the Message, so it won't be on the screen. So just listen to me, okay? Remember John 10:10, where Jesus says he comes to bring abundant life? This is what he says in the Message. I came, Jesus says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life. Real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Man, what a promise. What a hope that we can have. We can have such an amazing life. And it's whatever life you know, whatever life you've dreamed about, whatever life you've wanted, you can have more through Jesus Christ. Then I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 11. This is one of my favorite passages of all.
verses 28 through 30 in the Message, it says it this way. Are you tired? Worn out? I love this question. Burned out on religion? Come to me. I love that invitation. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. This is so sweet. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Man, that's so good. That is some of the richest stuff I have ever read in my entire life in that passage. And I love some of his phrases. Get away with me. Sounds like the old Calgon commercial, you know? Some of you are too young for that. I'm sorry. Amber just looked like, what in the world does he mean? When I was a little boy, we used to watch a commercial. And this beautiful woman, absolutely exquisite, gorgeous, regal, like a queen, but young, a princess maybe, would lay in a tub and there would be bubbles. Lots of bubbles. And she would lift her leg up out of the tub ever so gracefully and ever so modestly. You never saw anything above the knee. But her foot would be lit. Am I telling the truth, Wendell? Oh, Wendell, I'm going to pull it up and show it to you. That leg would lift up out of the tub and her beautiful, like, white, wonderful, ivory arms would lay on the tub. And she would lay her head back and she would say, Calgon, that was the bubble bath, take me away. Men bought Calgon. There was just something so appealing about, you know, it was like everything's gone. The stresses of life and the issues of life and the things I have to deal with are all gone. It's like an escape, a moment, a getaway. And Jesus says, you're tired, you're worn out, you're burned on religion. In other words, you burned in the wrong tree. You're tired of living over there in that tree, always looking and judging and then performing and doing. All right, then come to me. Get away with me. And I love this part. I'll recover your life. Some of you think it's gone, it's done. Some of you think you can't do it. Some of you are not sure that there's anything that God can do with you. I'm telling you, if there's something lost, if there's something taken or robbed, if there's something just messed up, God will recover your life. And that's what life-giving is about, giving life to us. And I'm going to tell you what, this is one of the secrets, folks, you can give it to one another. Not eternal life like Christ, no. But affirmation, encouragement, love, care. You can help sustain one another, build one another up and care about one another and create an atmosphere where it is growth and bringing forth life. Where you live for one another and not just for yourself. But you don't have to worry about yourself because it's taken care of. Because now you understand who you are in Jesus. And you know what I'm talking about. Man, if we can get this, if we can stumble into this place of life and we can begin to live out of this tree, it will be amazing for every one of us. What's robbed you? What's robbed you of life? What's robbed you of innocence? What's kept you from being able to go over and live in that tree where there is life, where you can grow and where you can become everything that God wants you to be? That's what Galatians is trying to tell you. It's not giving you a list of here's the things that you can't do and here's the things that you got to do. It's saying here's the list, but you got to go to Jesus. Read the whole thing, all right? You've got to go to Jesus. It is a relationship. It is intimacy with Jesus. It is coming into an experience with Christ, but then living that and growing in that and having that time with Him. And that's why He says, come away with me. Let me show you. He said, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely. Freely and lightly. I love that, lightly. My imagery of that is some guy that's just weighted down with so many bags. I had to go up some steps this weekend at a hotel in Omaha, and I had to carry a baby crib, portable crib. I had to carry a backpack. I had to carry my briefcase that had my computer in it, and then I had to pull a piece of luggage behind me, and someone, I won't tell you who, but someone handed me another bag and said, be careful with this one. You know, I'm trying, kaboom, you know, kaboom, kaboom. And then when I got to the top of the steps, my computer bag that was on my shoulder, I did the wrong move, you know, and because of the weight, it just slid off, you know. And I'm trying to catch it with my foot so it doesn't, it's like, kill my ankle but save my computer, you know, trying to catch it so it doesn't hit too hard on the floor. And then when I get to the top, I'm sweating. And it's hot in that hallway. I don't like that moment. But the bags, I just started dropping them. You know, it's like, phew. But as the bags came off, Bill stood up way taller and felt a whole lot better. And that cutting pain in my shoulder was gone. I don't know what you're carrying today. And I don't know how long you've carried it. But you don't have to. You don't have to carry it anymore. Now stand. You don't have to carry anything. You can find your freedom in Christ. Right now, by just releasing yourself to Him, you can begin it. What are you doing with your life? Don't just live by default. Let's get in the right tree. Let's learn how to find our rest in Jesus. We're going to help you. We're going to take you through some stuff over the next months. It's going to help you to learn how to rest in Jesus. It's going to be great. We're going to help you get in the right tree. What's holding you? What's got you? Let's let it go today. God will show you what it is. If you think you don't know, God will show you. I guarantee you the Spirit of God will come upon you and convict you. And reveal to you the things that you need to drop. What's in your life that's holding you back from this vital, growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you bow your heads right now? God, would you show every person in this room what they need to do? Show them the baggage that needs to fall off. Show them the things that have robbed them and let them move beyond them. Let them break through right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to just pray for a moment quietly. And at the end of that prayer, I want you to make a declaration personally for yourself. And that is this. I will be free through the power of Christ. And I will live in the tree of life by faith. God, your ears are open to the hearts of your people. Hear us today. Seal these declarations in the hearts of these men and women in this room today. Father, we're going to follow you and love you. And we're going to be life-giving. Bless us and help us to do that. Fill every person in this room with the power of your Spirit. Let every one of us, God, know you in a deeper, more wonderful, vital way. Do this so that you're glorified through our lives, God. Deliver us and cleanse us, sanctify us, that we may be more like you. Let everything in our past that's robbed us and hindered us be cut off in the name of Jesus. Speak freedom, Father, over every person in this room today in Jesus' name. True freedom that comes in Christ. For your glory. Amen.